Warning, the Stone Age Gamer includes a lot of bad language. Cover your motherfucking ears.
Good evening and welcome to episode 241 of the Stone Age Gamer podcast for the week of February 15th, 2019. I am Chris Randazzo, and with me tonight, as always, is essential vascular organ Dan Ryan.
I'm not going to mention what I misread that is as the first time I glanced through this, but I was very offended for a minute.
Well, you are essential. Either way, you are throbbing.
Thank you. I certainly am.
It's Valentine's season, and Valentine's means throbbing hearts.
Throbbing. Why is it always portrayed that way? Just like a deep, bassy growl, almost.
I don't know.
Very odd.
Anyway, we're talking about hearts. Hearts. Video game hearts. Tonight, for Valentine's Day. It's a great idea, and I'm glad we're doing.
Yeah, we're going to see how this goes.
Yeah, we're going to see how this goes.
I'm so excited that this is the first episode that our new sponsor will have attached to it.
Of course.
Not like an interview, not like the 10-20-30, which is kind of dialed in at this point. Like, no, there's just some random nonsense we came up with to talk about on Valentine's Day because, like, I didn't want to talk about Sonic dating a human again. Because that's super weird.
Yeah, it is. And here we are talking about it. So before we go any further,
damn it,
here's your weekly reminder that you can email us at mail@geekade.com. Just include the word Stone Age Gamer in the subject line. You can let us know what you think of our show, what topics you would like us to discuss in the future, or just say hello, because we always want to hear from you, the listener. How you doing, Dan?
I am really good, Chris.
Yeah,
and
really
getting
good?
Getting better. Ooh. Yeah, so I finally finished Hollow Knight.
Oh, cool.
And I got the bad ending, so I have to go back and play more of it. But, like, I wanted to get through, like, that bit of the story, because I knew, I think we talked about it before, like, the game was originally released, and then there were four DLC packs that were put out for free, and the version that you and I bought has all four of those DLC packs in it. So yeah. It is this massive, gigantic thing, right? And also, I don't know if you saw this, but on Valentine's Day, they will be announcing details of the Hornet DLC, which is really, really exciting. But anyway, so like I was just,
that.
They put out a little teaser on Twitter.
There's a lot of stuff going on Valentine's Day and
oh my
the
God,
day after
so
Valentine's
much.
Day. Like
yeah.
The day, I think the day after is when you can start pre-ordering physical Toe Jam and Earl.
Which is crazy
for
and
limited
awesome.
Run. And also, that's when the King K. Rool and...
Waluigi?
Not Waluigi. It's the King K. Rool and who's the other one? The Ice Climbers. King K. Rool Ice Climber amiibos come out on that day.
Yeah. I thought we were talking about Smash Brothers DLC.
Yeah, no. Well, King K. Rool's already in the game, and Waluigi will never be.
He will be. He's going to be the one that's revealed at tomorrow's Nintendo Direct.
Oh, we're going to talk about that.
But yeah, so Team Cherry put out a thing on Twitter of like more details coming soon. And it was just a picture of Hornet. Like, fuck yes. It's amazing. But like, it was super cool too. Cause I got up to the final boss, which is the Hollow Knight. Well, the first final, you know, whatever, last night, and he kicked my ass. And like, I was playing, I was like, oh, I want to do it again. But my kids had to go to bed and we were playing it together. So I couldn't finish it until today, but when as I'm leaving work today, I get a message on Facebook Messenger that just says, he's coming, a bunch of devil faces, like the devil face emoji, and then a picture of the Hollow Knight. My daughter's just laughing at me. I was like, man, that's not encouraging, but also, well done. I'm kind of excited that you're into it. But it was great. It was absolutely great. I think, Chris, at this point, I am comfortable saying that Hollow Knight is the best Metroidvania I've ever played.
Wow, that's high praise.
Yeah. It's not without fault, but it is incredible. So really excited that I finished that, mostly because PlayStation had a flash sale this past weekend.
Yeah.
And I finally picked up Chasm because it was on sale for like $10.
Hmm.
So I couldn't dive into Chasm before I finished Hollow Knight. I was like, I can't do two, you know, side-scrolling Metroidvanias at the same time. I'm already lost in one of them. So I'm really excited to jump into that. But yeah, man, it's good stuff. Lots of good stuff in Puzzle and Dragons.
Excellent. Really trying. Well, is there bad stuff in Puzzle and Dragons?
Yes. frequently. There's stuff that's super annoying. But I feel like I might be able to finally get a crown in one of these ranking dungeons. I just have to keep working at it. I'm close. And it does nothing other than like add a cosmetic thing next to your name, but I kind of want it. When I say kind of, I mean I really do. So, you know, there's that. But what's going on with you? Monster Boy done? Have we finished it?
Monster Boy. All right. No. No, I have not finished Monster Boy. So this is a fun story. I've been, you know, we've talked about it pretty much every week. I've been enjoying my time with it. It's not perfect, and the closer I get to the end, it's starting to kind of bug me a little bit with, you know, you'll get to some sort of thing that's really nitpickingly difficult.
Right.
And it's like super easy to die instantly. And they just send you back just a little bit farther than you, just far enough to be properly demoralizing. Like, I don't want to do all this crap again, but fine. So I'm here. I'm at the end of the game, and I'm at the end of the game. I'm actually at the end of the game. I went to this whole like other place, and I'm pretty sure I'm just like one door away from the last boss. But all scattered throughout this game, I've been finding these like armor pieces and like treasure chests that are just a little out of my way.
Yeah.
And I've been ignoring them because they're like, oh, you find these gold armor pieces or gold shoe pieces, and you get all five of them, and you bring them to a blacksmith, and they can make you like the super cool crazy armor. I'm like, okay, cool man. That sounds neat, but I don't have time for that. I'm just gonna go for it. So right. I get to this like very end of the game, and I need just the sword, not the rest of the armor, but I need all the gold sword pieces to advance in the game.
Naturally.
This has never been telegraphed at any point in the game that I'm going to need these. It's like, oh, cool. Now I have to go back and find them. So they give you this bit on your... First off, I'm like super pissed about that. He's like, I'm so close to the end of this game. I'm right here.
Right. I just want to be done at this point.
Yeah, like seriously, I'm ready to move on to the next game. And they give you this map that kind of gives you a general vicinity of where all the remaining gold pieces are. But they don't tell you if they're gold sword pieces. They're just like, there's something gold here. So I'm like, all right, well, at this point, I'm just going to go find all of them because I'm not just going to go get the sword.
Yeah.
What are the odds that I'm just going to pick all the remaining sword pieces right off the bat?
Not likely.
Yeah, not likely. So they're all over the freaking place. And there are warp points throughout the course of the game, and it's not terribly difficult to get back to all these spots. But I'm just like, I've been through a lot here. Okay, this game
kind of done a lot to get here.
It's got, I feel like a lot of its sensibilities are similar to like the really obtuse point and click stuff, where you're just like, how did you even think of this? Like, and granted, I could have just been missing something, but like, I was at that one boss. I think I told you guys last week about it, where I dropped in this room where there was a wizard, and he's just speaking nonsense at me, and I had to go into the options menu and turn on the wizard translator. Like, that's clever and all, but
also super obtuse.
Yeah, no, Colonel Campbell didn't say, look at the back of the box. It was just,
right.
I mean, maybe there was a hint around there somewhere. I found hints for some of these things, but man, some of these other bits have just been like, wow, this is just kind of out there. I'm certainly not ashamed to admit that I've been using a guide from time to time. Like, I'll get to a room and I'll start farting around with things, but like, you gotta be kidding me. I don't even know what the hell I'm supposed to do here. And,
yeah.
So I'm ready to be done with Monster Boy, and I'm still kind of bummed that I don't love it more than I do. And there's just all these little tiny niggling bits that just bug me about it. Like, there's this great song really early in the game, so I went back to that area to find one of those armor pieces, and it's the woods area, and it's just this marvelous song. It's really, really beautiful. And then just all of a sudden it just transitions to this, like, you know, early 90s blaring saxophone smooth jazz bit, and I'm like, wow, yeah, you had me going there. Like, this song was great. And then all of a sudden I'm like, whatever Ron Swanson's, sunglasses character was from Parks and Rec. I'm like, why
Duke
is
Silver?
This Duke Silver? Why are you Duke Silver in this song? Like, this doesn't need to be here. Like, you That's had this fantastic. Wonderful, mysterious, mystical wood song. And it's like, whoa, why is there a lounge in the woods? Not cool. That's the thing with this entire game. It's like just barely not amazing. It's very, very good. I know I've been talking complaints a lot on the show, and it's very, very good game, but it's just shy of amazing as far as I'm concerned.
Just left the center.
Exactly. A little bit of a bummer.
Which somehow makes it that much worse.
Yeah, a little bit. I wish it was just that little bit of extra polish added onto it. I wish it was just a tiny bit better, but I don't know. I don't really know how many other games this particular company's made, or at least of this. I'm pretty sure this is by far their most ambitious. And sure. There's so much good in here that I cannot wait to see what Game Atelier does next. Like, I simply cannot. I'm foaming at the mouth. It's frothing demand. As the IGN ad on Ikaruga said, frothing demand for whatever Game Atelier's next bit is.
Was there a frothing demand for Ikaruga?
Apparently.
Yeah.
It's written on the front of the box.
Well, I mean,
frothing.
Yeah.
there was much frothing and throbbing.
There was much frothing and throbbing and demand.
Yeah. The Wonder Boy callbacks in this have been really cool. Bit of a spoiler alert. I mentioned a while ago that the previous heroes from Wonder Boy, Wonder Boy 2, Wonder Boy 3, and Monster World 4 were all on the church, on the outside of the church as stained glass. And that's super cool, but there's these three relics you get, and they're all related to Wonder Boy 1, 2, and 3. And you get those relics, and then eventually, like, those characters show up as, like, ghosts and talk to you and help you out. And it's just that bit was really cool. I liked seeing those characters all done up in this modern artwork, and I like seeing that that this pays attention to the lineage of Wonder Boy 1, which is just a intrinsically different game from the rest of them. Like, and here's a caveman in a grass skirt who throws hammers, but whatever,
because why not? Because you get it.
Yeah,
you get it.
So that's pretty cool. That's there really is a lot to love about this game. I'm ready for it to be done so I can move on to something else, because I have so much to move on to, including Hollow Knight.
Yes, which is going to take you a while.
I bet it will.
And you should totally play that with a guide.
Yeah, I have no shame in that department anymore.
Absolutely, play that one with a
guide. If I feel like I can handle it, I'm going for it. But the minute I feel like I'm just in over my depth, or I really have to noodle something, just nah.
Yeah.
Depending on the game, like, sometimes I'll figure it out. But as of right now, and I'm really trying to just experience as many as I can, I'm not ashamed to use the guide.
Right. We're adults now, Chris.
That's
Who
right.
Who are we trying to impress?
There's nobody on the playground for me to impress.
That's right. And even then, even if there was, I'd just lie to him.
I've been continuing my my cataloging marathon. I've been what was I working on last week? Did I talk about the Wii games? I was switching to Wii games because I was afraid that they were gonna pull them all down. I've gotten pretty far. I have cataloged all the NES Virtual Console, all the Super NES Virtual Console. Now I'm on N64. I just started the N64. Virtual console games left, and so that leaves N64, Sega Master System, Sega Genesis, TurboGrafx-16, Neo Geo, Arcade, and WiiWare, and that's 66 more titles to add to my to go through on my Wii collection.
Well, goddamn
indeed. There's a lot there, but it's been fun. Did a lot of it while recording TWEP last night.
So, really focused on that episode?
I did my part. It was really mostly, I tend to do that stuff for the back half, because we always cover news in the back half of this week's episode, and
yeah,
a lot of it is just like, I kind of tune out a little bit, because like, it tends to be stuff that I don't care so much about, But like every now and then, because I keep the running list on the screen while we're going, and I'm like,
right,
okay, this new story I don't care about, so I'll catalog a game. Then another one will come up and be like, oh, I care about this, I'm chiming in. And I usually do it very enthusiastically.
I got all the fucking things to say about this.
Oh, I care about this show. I need to pre-order Toe Jam and Earl. Toe Jam and Earl comes out.
I do too.
I was, because I'm holding off to see exactly what the deal is with the limited run.
Right.
And like, that's the thing. I want the physical one, but similar to Katamari, I think I might wind up going with the digital one just to make it easier for Karen to play it.
Right.
Because my wife, Karen, has been, she's a huge fan of the original Toe Jam and Earl. She grew up with that game on her Genesis. Her and her sister used to play it together.
It's the main reason you married her.
At the very least. And
one of the top two.
One of the top two, maybe three reasons. So, you know, she never played the second one or the third one. She's not a huge gamer or anything like that. But anytime I've made the original Toe Jam and Earl available to her, she will just play the crap out of it. Her and her sister sat in my house for like 2 hours playing it one night. Just 2 hours in a row, just constant Toe Jam and Earl. It was amazing. So this new one is, it looks so good. And it is a just flat out sequel to the original Toe Jam and Earl. Like a modern take on that. And so I absolutely have to have the game. And
absolutely.
Just waffling back and forth between what I want to do. But I think just like because Katamari was, getting it digitally was absolutely the right choice because she played the heck out of that.
Whoa.
Yeah, just kind of accidentally mashed my mic stand and it made my microphone fly into my neck. So that was cool.
It was awesome.
Feel good about that. So yeah, Toe Jam and Earl, I have to pre-order it, and who knows what else after tomorrow's Nintendo Direct.
Yeah.
Because that's the thing that's happening, but before, we're going to talk about that in a second. So I feel like that'll be fun, because this episode will go up after it happens, but we're recording it before it happens, so we can make a handful of like really stupid predictions.
Absolutely.
I feel that it is necessary for me to say that as of this recording, the Bubsy Kickstarter has a whopping 314 backers and has raised 48% of its goal. None of that money is from me.
Yet.
I will buy that game. I don't know that I need all the DLC, but I will buy that game.
Because you have them all.
Exactly. I have to keep the streak alive.
You have a problem.
I do.
I mean, are we surprised by that number? Are we over, under, or simply whelmed by that number?
I don't know what to think. That there are only 314 humans interested in giving extra money for this new Bubsy game, I think speaks volumes.
Yeah.
Like, I would think that more than 300 people, like that's a really low number. If that is
in any way indicative of what they can expect sales to be.
Yeah, then this game's going to be problematic. And that makes me kind of sad, because I only want the best things for Choice Provisions.
Sure.
Which is not just, you know, that's the other half of why I'm going to buy this game, is because, of course, I'm going to buy it. It's a Bubsy game. I have to have it for the sheer stupidity, but I love Choice Provisions, so right. I doubt that they're going to make a bad game here. I'm very curious to see how it actually pans out, and I kind of want to support them on their want to do DLC for this, because, you know, they're talking about one of the goals, if they hit $75,000, which I don't think is going to happen, is they'll add a mysterious new character, which I believe will be Commander Video. And all right.
I mean, because, like, here's the thing. The barrier to entry for what this needs to be a good Bubsy game, mm-hmm. is shockingly low.
Yes.
Right? Like, it needs to be a barely competent platformer, and it will be among the top tier Bubsy game.
Absolutely.
So, that being said, Choice Provisions is a very talented developer that has made some really cool, really interesting stuff. There's a lot of potential here.
There certainly is. But, and especially because the game is playing directly to their strengths. I mean, it's a runner game with Bubsy.
But you have to imagine that people are feeling a little burned out after Woolly's Strike Back did not exactly set the world on fire.
Yeah, that really is a big that's a big strike against this game, because that was, you know, that was the big Bubsy Returns thing. Like, oh, right. They're making a new Bubsy game out of nowhere, and it's middling at best.
And it's like, just, lo and behold, a Bubsy game.
Yeah. Now, if this game was the first one to come out in a long time, I think we'd be having a different conversation. I think it would be a hell of a lot more interesting, because, like, oh, they got choice provisions to work on this. Not like, okay, so the last one was by the people who did the Gianna Sisters game. Like, okay, that's neat. That's not a bad game by any stretch of the imagination, but it wasn't like they got a super talented team to do it. They did get a super talented musician to do the music.
Right.
Chris Schulzbeck, I don't know how to pronounce his last name. The guy who does the Turrican music, which is freaking amazing.
Yeah.
But even then, the music for Bubsy didn't come out all that great. So, I don't know. This is a very weird situation, and I don't know how much I want to see it succeed. Because on one hand, it's like, Choice Provisions is making a new game, and I like that they're kind of in on the Bubsy joke, and they've been doing a great job with Bubsy's Twitter. But at the same time, I don't know that this is necessary. Like, I don't think bringing Bubsy back is a good idea.
At this point, I don't know.
It's not the kind of character I want to see redeemed in any way, shape, or form. But who knows? Maybe this will genuinely be fun. Maybe Bubsy will make me laugh. I think that'll be the real litmus test. If they can actually make the writing good enough to make me laugh, that would really be something.
I mean, here's hoping. It's not looking great.
It's not looking great. That said, Bubsy would be a great, like, it would be the most amazing troll character to put into Smash.
Oh, that Waluigi and Bubsy are being announced tomorrow.
Just Waluigi with an exclamation point t-shirt on.
Yeah, 100%.
Wallawubsy.
Wallawubsy.
It's just one character.
Right alongside Crash Bandicoot. He's going to be announced tomorrow.
Oh my god.
Spyro.
So there's a Nintendo Direct tomorrow.
Blasto.
Blasto. That's
James Pond. James Pond is going to be in Smash.
Yes, absolutely. My god.
Except they're gonna call it Super Splash Bros. It's gonna be terrible. Oh, ew.
I'm gonna barf.
I mean, do it. Live the dream.
So, what do you think is gonna happen in this Nintendo Direct tomorrow, huh? I know they're gonna focus on Fire Emblem Three Houses, and I don't know if they're gonna convince me to buy it, but
we'll see. They are going to Nintendo the shit out of it and stick with a theme of three. And we're going to get information on Fire Emblem Three Houses.
Uh-huh.
We're going to get information on Metroid Prime Trilogy 2. They're going to announce 4, 5, and 6. They're just going to do 3 of them. okay. That's why the game was delayed, is because there's more parts coming. I think we're going to get a Kid Icarus Trilogy all collected into one edition. You're going to get remakes of the NES and Game Boy game along with the 3DS game.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
That makes sense, right? You could see
perfect
that happening.
Perfect sense. That's a brilliant financial move.
100%. And then Mother 3.
Okay. I think that's all very realistic. Absolutely.
Not
I think
for
there's
going to
the Mortal Kombat
nothing.
Trilogy HD. You're not throwing that in there?
100%. Well, I mean, maybe.
Tell me you wouldn't play the hell out of that.
Oh, I absolutely
would. I would love, like, just a fully remastered Mortal Kombat trilogy.
I really thought that was already a thing. Clay Fighters 33 and a third will be remastered. HD.
Because that'll be called 33 and three thirds.
33 and three thirds. Fucking pelvis, whatever the fucking...
No, it was 64. 33 and a third was Naked Gun.
Oh, that's right. There's going to be a Naked Gun 33 and a third game. About 25, 30 years too late.
They somehow already recorded Leslie Nielsen's audio before he died.
Oh yeah, it was supposed to come out a long time ago. It's the thing. Nobody remembers the original Super Nintendo version of that was canceled. It's been stewing all this time. No, man, like, who knows?
Yeah, that's, I mean, that's the great thing about this is one of those, you know, super hyped ones because they didn't do one in January and
people
have been, well, there are no non-super hyped ones really, but I'm already seeing people like just shooting for the moon on here, like, oh man, if we don't get all the Animal Crossing and Pokemon and Metroid and you know, all the rest of the Smash Brothers characters, I'm gonna riot. Or, you know, if they, we don't get Banjo-Kazooie announced tomorrow, then that's it, I'm out.
What's Banjo-Kazooie?
It's a canoeing game.
It's the Endless Canoeer.
Yeah, Endless Canoeer.
Made by Choice Provisions.
Choice Provisions. It's just Banjo-Kazooie in a kazoo. And in a canoe, I mean.
He's in a kazoo that he's using as a canoe.
Oh my god.
It's this weird fucking avant-garde reimagining of Tubin.
He has to use his banjo to paddle, but he also has to keep playing the music or he'll die.
I would play the fuck out of that game.
My god, me too.
Oh god. Why aren't we making games, Chris?
Banjo-Kazooie.
Banjo-Kazooie 3.
But yeah, I'm already seeing lots of people and just completely getting their hopes up over the moon, and I honestly don't know what to expect. You know, there was already a leak out there of saying that we're going to get some sort of Box Boy situation and the Prime Trilogy and this, that, and the other thing. And I don't know. I don't know what to expect out of leaks. And also the great thing about these leaks is 9 times out of 10, they tend to leave off one or two things.
Yeah.
So even if the leak is 100% true, there's still probably going to be at least a couple surprises to me. And that's the stuff I'm excited for. Like, I know there, it's like a 30-something minute thing. I'm thinking at least 10 minutes is going to be dedicated to Fire Emblem.
Mm-hmm.
But the rest of that stuff, I'm really hoping for Prime Trilogy. I think, you know, if the rumors are true that it's just been done and sitting around waiting for the right time, now's the time.
Now's the time, especially after you announced the delay on Prime 4.
The Prime delay, yeah.
Give me that trilogy. I really, really... But, see, what worries me is that they will, again, Nintendo the shit out of it and make it like Pokemon Go, where you have to use the fucking waggle motion bullshit.
See, I doubt that.
And if that's the case, I won't buy it.
Yeah, I sincerely doubt that'll be the case. Just because...
Like, I just want to play that game. I don't want to do anything weird with it. I just want to play it.
I suspect that if they're putting the Prime Trilogy on the Switch, they're going to make it like, you know, for like Doom, they'll make it totally playable no matter what. Because that Pokemon situation is very strange. Like, I get why Mario Party is only usable with the Joy-Cons. That makes sense.
Sure.
It's freaking Mario Party. But
right.
The Pokemon thing is just absurd. But at the end
really
of the day, it doesn't hurt the game too much.
It doesn't, because you're still kind of doing the thing.
Yeah, like
you're still
60%
kind
of
the
game
motion.
Is, the only part of the game is just the actual catching of the Pokemon. Everything else is perfectly fine with just the one Joy-Con.
So, Speaking of, my daughter Katie has just gotten to whatever city you have to get to so that you can transfer Pokemon.
Oh, we're in basically the same place.
Yeah.
We just got there recently too.
My app on my phone has been decimated. She's just like, send me all of your Pokemon. I'm like, you can't have my Cubone though. She's like, fuck you, I want it. She's like, whoa, language out of a 9-year-old. Jesus.
Yeah, no, I think if they do Prime Trilogy, it's going to be standard controls. I can't imagine them forcing people to use motion controls on something that important.
Right, like, I mean, especially now, if you're thinking about, you know, setting your Switch down, grabbing your controller, like, your Pro Controller, big and on everybody's giant TVs now.
Yeah.
Which certainly wasn't the case when the first two came out.
Yeah, I mean,
like,
that's
the way that game needs to be experienced.
Exactly. Where it's a different time. I think they will have reworked that game to be more conventional as far as the controls. And that would be great, because I would love to play through Prime 3 without the motion controls.
Yep.
And I'll definitely replay 1 and 2, because it's been a very long time since I've replayed 1 and 2, so...
Yeah, I would be way into that.
Yeah, that would
definitely
have...
Hopefully we'll get a pro wrestling announcement tomorrow.
Absolutely. Starman's Revenge.
Oh, my God. I wanted
to... Starman Kazooie.
Starman Kazooie 7. Fuck, great.
See, he's rolling down the river in the Amazon.
In the Amazon. Man, like, I think a safe prediction is that we are going to get some information on whatever the next Pokemon game is going to be. Like the mainline Poke title.
I think that we're going to go completely without any mention of it.
Really?
Just because Game Freak tends to do their own thing, you know? I think there's just going to be, like, a little bit closer to whenever it's going to launch. There's just going to be a Pokemon Direct. Like, I don't think they're going to try to squeeze that in. I think it's going to get its own thing later. Which means they'll definitely talk about it tomorrow. Because
right, 100%.
Yeah, 100%.
And is there, like, because I am just not into this fandom like other people are. Is there legitimately no way Waluigi ever makes it into Smash Brothers? He's got to be the last one revealed, right?
I doubt it. Well, I don't think he's not a big enough deal. Like, there's this vocal minority of nutcases on the internet that are like, no, Waluigi must be there, but he's already in the game as an assist trophy. Like, are they really?
It's kind of ridiculous that he's not, right?
I don't know. Maybe. He's been in a lot of games, but what exactly, besides his personality, what makes him an interesting fighter? You know, what would he do? Like, you know, hit people with a tennis racket because his first game was Mario Tennis. You know, he's kind of a jack of all trades kind of situation, but I just don't, he would be neat to be in there, but at the point of paid DLC, this is for a paid DLC run. And the first character they announce is Joker from Persona. Like, I feel like Waluigi is a huge step back in the boring department, because that's just like, and here's another Mario character. It's Waluigi. So
yeah,
yay. That's vocal. Yeah. I think the last one they're going to announce is going to be Banjo-Kazooie. I think that's going to be the last one. I think that's the biggest bomb they could drop because of the whole Microsoft connection. But
right
again, what the hell do I know?
Yeah, that. And like we talked about last week, you know, that's kind of awesome that we're in this spot where, like, man, I don't even know.
Yeah, I think anything's on the board. I have no idea.
Like, oh, I was. They did a Mr. Rogers DLC for Smash Brothers. Like,
Didn't see that coming. There was
the
a Price
Beatles,
is Right
all
video
four
game.
Of them in the yellow submarine outfits. Right nice. On.
Bob Barker hitting people with a microphone.
The Golden Girls? Yo, fuck. I would...
not the Golden lie. Girls in Funko Pop form? All right.
Oh, dude, I'm so in. So in.
I'm really like the most boring thing that I'm most hopeful for is that they announce some sort of Box Boy trilogy for Switch, because the Box Boy games are pretty delightful and I really, really want that amiibo. So cute.
Okay.
This is a little box with eyes and feet and I don't care. I want that amiibo, but they're going for like $150 on eBay because they're Japan only. And
are amiibos still even a thing, Chris?
They are. Like I said earlier, there's a couple more new ones coming out. They're already pre-ordered. Pre-orders are just already done on them. So I'm just going to go to my local store and hopefully pick them up.
What are they again?
King K. Rool and the Ice Climbers.
That's right. King K. Rool and Ice Climbers. And those are the only two?
I think those are the only two coming out this Friday. A couple of months ago, they did Wolf and Ridley. I bought the heck out of the Ridley one. It's awesome. I skipped on the Wolf one because, I don't know, I'm not a huge fan of Wolf. He's neat, but from Star Fox.
Oh, okay.
Wolf O'Donnell.
Sorry, I was thinking Twilight Princess, and I was like, I already did that.
Yeah, they did that one.
Okay.
I've seen pictures of Ken, so I'll definitely be getting the Ken amiibo when that comes out. And I'll, definitely be getting Simon, Richter, and Solid Snake. Absolutely.
When are those coming?
I don't think there's any dates on those. No, the Solid Snake and Simon and Richter haven't even been officially announced yet. There was some sort of thing that seems to have leaked to show that they were going to be there, because They did say that all the characters that haven't already had amiibos made are going to get them. But, you know, like, I don't care about Incineroar. I'm not going to get an Incineroar amiibo, but I will, I'll get the heck out of those other ones.
Right on.
Yeah, right on.
Yeah, I haven't, I think the last one I bought was Ryu.
That was, that's a good looking one. I can't wait to put Ken next to him.
Yeah.
I picked up a Roy amiibo, Roy from Fire Emblem.
Yeah?
Because it was a Five Below.
Oh, well, there you go.
Like, yeah, all right. I'll pay $5 for a Roy amiibo.
Sure.
Bring it on. I don't care really, about Roy, but...
I really like the Shovel Knight ones.
Oh, those are really cool. I have Shovel Knight.
Did you get that 3-pack?
No, I didn't get the 3-pack. I have Shovel Knight, but I don't have the Order of No Quarter.
That one is pretty great.
Yeah, it's a really nice looking
set. I don't
know
that you can pre-order it anywhere anymore, but... I mean, because it's not even coming out till April.
Which is when the last piece of Shovel Knight's coming out.
Which is
Isn't
so
that
nuts.
Insane?
That's
it was like
so
5 years ago.
That's crazy.
I can't wait for them to be done with this game because I want to know what else Yacht Club games can do.
Right. I'm looking at this King K. Rool run right now. It's pretty good.
Yeah, he looks great.
Yeah, he looks really good. They did a nice job on that.
They did. They keep getting better as they go on. The models just keep getting nicer. Ridley one's sick looking.
I kind of want Detective Pikachu.
But he's like, he's humongous.
I know. Awesome.
Like, I don't need a 25-pound effect Detective Pikachu in my house. No way. yeah, I don't know what else to even say about the Nintendo Direct. I mean, obviously, we'll know by the time this episode airs. So, I'm just at a complete loss. I can't even think of anything like this totally out there that would be a surprise that I think is even remotely possible. I mean, we might hear about... the Spyro trilogy, probably. That's been all but confirmed.
Right.
Was
that
same
would make
with the
sense.
Assassin's Creed, something or other. One or two of the Assassin's Creeds have like popped up on lists and then disappeared almost immediately. So,
right.
I wouldn't be surprised to see that stuff show up. I'm really just really curious what's going to happen with third parties because I know third parties are chomping at the bit to get their games on this platform now. So. I'm wondering when we're going to start seeing more of a flood and what kind of stuff we're going to see. Really interesting time.
All right.
Well, that was fun. Let's talk about hearts, shall we?
Let's do it, Chris.
Let's do it. It is the time of year when people put hearts on things. It is Valentine's Day. Yeah, that's right.
That was so professional and silly.
Thank you.
It's the time of year when people put hearts on things.
That's professional and silly was exactly what I was going for.
Well done, sir.
It was Valentine's Day, the day before this episode posted, and we were thinking of what to do that was Valentine's Day related, and I remembered that I wrote an article a while ago for Geekade about video game hearts, particularly what I thought were weird video game hearts, and I thought that would be pretty fun to talk about, but just more hearts in general. So let's see where this goes. Dan, talk to me about a video game heart.
Let's talk about the weird hearts in the Popeye video game.
Yeah, the weird hearts.
So this Popeye game is pretty great, right?
Yeah, I'd agree with that.
Like as
it's not amazing. I've never loved it, but it's neat. Particularly the arcade version. The NES adaptation was the first one that I played, and I just didn't really think much of it. And then I played the arcade game and saw, like, it just looks so much better.
Oh, it looks great.
It's a neat game. It's not Donkey Kong.
It is not Donkey Kong, but... So, as you're playing through this game, as you're Popeye-ing around the world, these weird little sort of heart-shaped things keep floating down from your gal, from Olive.
Yeah, olive oil's like tossing the hearts at you or kissing the hearts at you or whatever.
Yeah, like either or. But they kind of flutter and flap in a weird way.
Yeah, they're like paper.
Yeah.
Or deflated balloons or something.
Deflated balloons is a good way to put it. They're music notes in certain stages, but it was just always weird because, like, you play through it and it's like, all right, like, I get that I'm supposed to be collecting these, but, like, what the fuck am I actually collecting here? And why? Because, like, old school video games, especially arcade games, did not do a great job of explaining, like, why you should be doing this.
Yeah, and, like, you could, it's nice and abstract, as the best old video game things are. Like, oh, it's olive oil.
She loves me. Clearly.
She loves you. So she's dropping love on you. There's just something very strange about the way that they float like they're pieces of paper. And I always thought that was weird. And it's like, it's recurred in video games that hearts are these light objects that float like this. Like, Link to the Past, mm-hmm. You know, you kill a bad guy and a heart, you know, it drops and it like kind of floats down like a little piece of paper. Very strange.
Yeah, it's just there's a weird animation to it. There's a weird movement to it. There's a weird look to them. Mm-hmm. They're very, very creepy.
Quite, yeah. Not cool, man.
No, but the game itself is dope.
Yeah, it is a pretty neat game. It's you know, classic Nintendo vintage, and you gotta love that. It's just a historically interesting game. Because you know Donkey Kong was supposed to be a Popeye game, and then later they made an actual Popeye game, and now they'll never release this on anything ever because who's going to pay for the Popeye license to get this game out there?
I mean, it's got to be like $12 at this point for the Popeye license.
Who the heck knows, man?
There's one dude who owns it who's way overvaluing the Popeye license.
Yeah, like it's... Obviously, it's historically significant. Not just as a video game, but like the whole Popeye brand is a pretty important piece of Americana. But at the same time, it's completely irrelevant. It has not held its value the same way like mm-hmm. even Looney Tunes or Tom and Jerry has. It's just,
which is a shame. I always loved Popeye.
I did too. When I was a kid, I thought Popeye was awesome. But I mean, great. I don't even know how much of that holds up these days. I haven't seen anything Popeye in a long time, so who the heck knows?
Mm.
Well, let's see. Popeye's a good one. I am going to bring up, just because it's, timely, Kingdom Hearts.
Kingdom Hearts.
So, you don't know the mythology of Kingdom Hearts.
No.
I don't know the mythology of Kingdom Hearts.
I don't think Squeenix knows the mythology of Kingdom Hearts at this point, correct?
I remember learning at some point that Kingdom Hearts was a place. Is it a place or is it a thing? Like,
yes.
I thought Kingdom Hearts at first was just a nonsense title for this, you know, weird Squaresoft Disney crossover thing. But, like, I believe the whole point of the game is that you use the Keyblades to unlock Kingdom Hearts. And I don't know if that's a thing or a place, but I know that there's Heartless, and I know that there's Nobodies, and those things are both different things, but they're very similar to each other.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Kingdom Hearts.
This game has gotten so mired in its own mythology.
It is bananas.
I mean, because, like, look, there's a tertiary connection between a couple of the Disney films, at least according to fans and whatnot. You know, people have tried to come up with, you know, how Frozen ties to Little Mermaid and, like, whatever other shit. You know, but, like, The Disney movies do not all exist within the same universe.
No, they definitely don't.
Right, like there may be ways that you can get there you can get from point A to point B in some of them, but for the most part, they are their own separate little pieces of wonderful. So when you try to marry that with Final Fantasy, that does also not exist in its own thing. Right? Like, man, guys, just, you took on a ridiculously large task and somehow made it even more ridiculously large and complicated.
they were like, all right, we've got this great idea. But then somewhere along the line, they got lost in their own ass. They just decided to stuff their heads up their asses and then were like, wow, it's really roomy up here. What's around this corner?
Let's cram a bunch of more shit. And with the amount of stuff that they've crammed into these games, how have we not gotten anything with Great Mouse Detective? Radigan has no place in the Kingdom Hearts movie. In the Kingdom Hearts games?
Are we sure about that? Is he one of those weird summons that you can do?
I doubt it.
Yeah, you're probably right.
I feel like that.
The Rescuers, have they ever been in there?
I think so. I think they have. I could be wrong. And please, somebody at Geek A Dan on Twitter, correct me if I'm wrong, but how have we gotten?
They've also never dived into the Disney Afternoon stuff at all.
The Disney Afternoon, so much of Tailspin. Well, the gummy ship is there.
Yeah, but is that really related to gummy bears?
I think so.
I don't remember there being a gummy ship in Gummy Bears.
But No Darkwing Duck.
At the very least, it's No Darkwing Duck. Can you imagine a friggin' gargoyles world in Kingdom Hearts? And how is that not the coolest thing in the history of mankind?
How have they skipped Black Cauldron and Sword in the Stone and Robin Hood?
I don't know.
They've made 958 games in this
They've
franchise.
They've made at least 358 over two games.
Trying to do math real quick. Hold on. So 358 divided by two. So two goes into three one time. Kind of 7, 2, 1.
Don't forget to carry the dream drop distance.
Oh my God, I forgot. So they've made 9,000 games in this franchise, and somehow we haven't gotten what seem like relatively obvious choices.
Yeah, because they went and did a Tron universe, and that was before that Tron movie was a thing.
Yeah,
and the new Tron movie that they were pushing at the time. So it was it was original Tron. It was Sark and everyone. So yay, let's dive into the obscure stuff, but not hit up
Great Mouse Detective.
Great's right in the title.
It's right there. The movie's amazing. I mean, I know my favorite Disney stuff is stuff like Great Mouse Detective and Sword in the Stone and Black Cauldron, fucking Los Caballeros and stuff like that. So it's not exactly front of the line Disney. It's not exactly
you love what most people consider the dark era.
Yeah, well, yeah, I do. But that's
pre-Little Mermaid stuff.
When we were kids, Chris, the first movie that I don't know this for a fact, but to steal from Bill Maher, I don't know this for a fact, but I know it's true. The first movie that I would have seen in a theater would have been Great Mouse Detective. Hmm. I am positive that I am of that age where my parents took me to the movies, and that was what I saw. The first movie I can remember going to the theater to see was Follow That Bird. Big Bird movie. That movie was dope as fuck. But, so we kind of grew up in that era of the dark ages of Disney before Little Mermaid kind of kicked things back over. And then we got the second dark ages with Hunchback of Notre Dame and whatnot. But I digress.
Me too. All right, your turn.
Oh shit, I'm supposed to be looking at the list. Hold on. I was trying to get an idea of the Kingdom Hearts story. Apparently there was a big war. It's as far as I got.
I've watched a couple of these things where they're going through the, all right, let's explain Kingdom Hearts. And every single one of them is at least 10 minutes before they even get to the first game.
Yeah, it's so nuts. Let's jump over to Mike Sheridan and talk about Castlevania.
Mm.
And the fact that what would seem to be the natural thing as you're going through Castle Dracula is you hit a candle and out pops a dagger. That makes sense.
That adds up. Absolutely.
Or a bag of money.
I keep my bags of cash in candles.
the amount of candles I destroyed in my house when I was a kid looking for money and or weapons. Well, zero, because I'm lying. But
true. You just punched holes in the wall looking for meat.
I did. And that I found a shocking amount of.
Still do to this day.
More than once, I think, is shocking on that. Like, oh, fuck, there's spam in here. That's weird.
There's a turkey on a plate. I'm going to eat this.
This has got to be sanitary.
It's been sealed for freshness.
In the
sealed
wall.
Inside this wall.
Sealed inside this wall this whole time. What kind of preservatives are you using, Dracula? FDA
drywall.
Approved. Who knew? Who knew?
Drywall is the best preservative.
Honey, the power's out. Oh no, the food's gonna spoil. Quick, put it in the walls, as I've learned from Castlevania. Anyway, so you break a bunch of candles and shit in the castle, and like weapons and money fall out. You're like, all right, cool. Now I can throw daggers or boomerangs or whatever. But in order to throw them, I need hearts. Why? Why not just more daggers?
Yeah, or something. It's very strange to me that hearts are what they denote as ammunition.
Mm-hmm.
Because,
like, are you killing these monsters with love?
Are you really putting your heart into these attacks?
It was probably that stupid, wasn't it?
I don't know. Either way, it's friggin' strange.
But, like, it's only strange now, as an adult. As a kid, it was just like, this is what you do.
Yeah.
I never questioned it.
Or, no, I questioned the hell out of it, because when I played
Zelda. Really?
Yeah, because I played Zelda first, and I was like, oh, cool, I'm getting health. No, I'm not. What is it? Why? What? Took me forever to realize that every time I threw something, because I just wasn't paying attention to the little bar at the top. I was paying attention to the action in the game. Wondered why I would run out of weapons. And eventually I just throw something and see what numbers changed. I'd be like, wait, it's the hearts? What? All right. Weird. I expected hearts to be health, but no, food is health.
No,
and it would be strange for food to be ammunition as well. So the whole damn game's flawed.
Food is health. Hearts are ammunition.
Yeah.
Weapons are currency. What? Damn it.
Yeah, up hearts is down. Ammo is a...
Left is sideways.
Dogs and cats living together.
Mass hysteria.
Yeah, Castlevania's a really weird game. And, like, they stuck with that, too, the hearts thing. And mm-hmm. It never stops being weird, but it's also kind of cool-ish.
It just is Castlevania at this point. Like, it is part of the DNA of Castle.
And it's wild to think, like, you look at something like Symphony of the Night that is just undeniably cool-looking,
mm-hmm.
but you can still have, like, Alucard standing next to a giant heart, and it still looks cool.
Yeah.
Or look at this big, goofy heart on the floor. Think nothing of it. And it makes that cute little noise when you pick one up. Adorable little noise, and it still doesn't even matter. It's just awesome.
Think nothing of it.
Similarly, I will follow that up with Kid Icarus hearts. Because Kid Icarus hearts are also, they're not ammunition, they are not health, they're money.
Exactly.
They're just straight up currency.
That is because Pit
pays for everything in love.
That's right.
That was another one that you just want to think that hearts are going to be health, and they're just not. And so you wind up going through Kid Icarus, and then you're picking up hearts, and you're like, all right, what am I going to do with these? And then you get to a shop, and you're like, these cost numbers. Numbers of what?
How many numbers?
Let's see. 250, jump on it. Oh, 250 hearts. Neat. Okay. So, like, what are they doing? You pay, so you've got these hearts, and then you pay the shopkeeper. What is the shopkeeper going to do with those hearts?
It's a good question, because he's a creepy looking dude.
A little bit, yeah. And
like,
then
he
take
doesn't seem like a dude that you should just be giving hearts to.
No,
he doesn't seem trustworthy.
Especially not the shitty shopkeeper that, you know, the guys steal your stuff, and then you go in there like, hey, I got this stuff for sale, hot off the presses. That's my stuff, you thieving bastard.
You prick. Goddamn thief.
It goes a little further with Kid Icarus Uprising and the cauldron thing that changes the difficulty level, where you can bet hearts that get dumped into this cauldron and then burst into flames. Like, love it. It's so weird, but I freaking love it.
That's weird.
Yeah, it's weird. Anyway, we should take ourselves a break.
We should.
So we are going to take a break, and that's what we're going to do. But when we come back, we're gonna keep doing this.
For like a minute.
Yeah, at least a couple. We're gonna keep doing this because, I don't know, what else are we going to do?
Because somehow we can.
You are listening to the Stone Age Gamer Podcast from Geekade.com, so please stick around.
Are you looking for a way to combine your love of video games and craft beer? Well, look no further than the Retro Gamer Premium Glassware Collection available from our friends at Craft Branded. There's a glass for every type of geek at craftbranded.com, and for a limited time, they're offering 10% off your entire order exclusively to the Stone Age Gamer Podcast listeners. Use code STONEAGE10 to get 10% off your entire order at craftbranded.com. You're welcome.
And now, here's a look at some of the other original content available right now at Geekade.com.
First up, there are plenty of ways to take in zombie entertainment. There's zombie drama shows, Zamas, as we call them, like The Walking Dead. There's zombie comedies, Zomedies, like Santa Clarita Diet. There's even zombie murder mysteries, smurders, like iZombie. That one didn't really work. But what about zombie anime? Zamime, right? Or to be more precise,
Zanime.
Zanime. What did I say?
You said Zanime, but the real people call it anime.
Oh, zombie. Zanime. Zanadu. What about, Chris, though? What about pop idol zombie anime?
Zop idols?
Zbidles.
Zbidle.
It exists, Chris. Apparently, pretty good, too. Thanks to the work of Jonathan Robert, you two can learn all about a group of undead.
Undead!
Shit, we're about to go southern, Chris. Y'all can learn about a group of undead teenage girls from different time periods who are, after rising from the dead, do the only logical thing there is to do. They form a pop group and climb their way to the top of the charts. Be sure to read the Anime Annex, Zombieland Saga.
I call it anime.
I call it anime, too.
Next!
Wasn't it Japanimation for a while? Is that offensive? Is that a thing that, like, we don't say anymore?
Yeah, I think because they don't like being called Japs. Jap animation.
Oh, yeah, I never even thought of it that way.
Yeah, I figured Japan animation and animation
from Japan
smushed together, but yeah, it's, you are technically still saying Jap animation, which is, yeah, that's kind of offensive.
I was just saying Japan whatever. Okay, yeah. I don't say it anymore because I know we're not supposed to, but I never understood why.
Yeah.
Nobody could ever explain it that way. People just got, like, righteously indignant for no reason, and they were like, well, you know, you can't say it that way anymore. It's anime. And it's like, fuck you. Whatever.
Yeah. I mean, I like anime as a word better. It's also
I do,
shorter.
Too. Like, it's a better word, but... Yeah.
But hey, did you hear we have a new podcast?
I did.
Did you hear it's about Transformers?
I did. I listened to it. It was good.
Did you hear they're more than meets the eye?
No. Nobody has ever mentioned that before.
Did you know that the second episode is available now?
I didn't.
Did you know the first one is too?
Well, yes. We covered that.
Did you hear there's going to be a third one next week?
No shit.
Did you know there are new episodes the first 3 weeks of every month?
I did. We read a commercial last week.
Did you know Transformers are really popular?
Yes.
Do you think I can make it through this entire ad by only asking questions?
Do you think you can?
Did you know that I think you should check out the SparkCast right now on Geekade.com?
Should I?
Yes. Darn it!
I win.
I messed it up. Oh boy, waffles.
All right, well, in the spirit of that, this commercial will be read in the style of a question, even though none of the sentences here are in fact questions.
Finally, help?
Finally, help? The WWE Universal Championship is in trouble? Well, not immediate physical danger, unless you count the physical danger the wrestlers are in when they do their thing. More of a crisis of irrelevance? WWE has had this shiny red belt around for a while now. Pretty much seems like a pointless artifact Brock Lesnar keeps getting, even though he doesn't actually want it.
I want Brock Lesnar. Just made it a bratwurst.
I mean, he kind of is. Have you seen him? When he wrestles, he gets all drippy and purple. Much the same as bratwurst.
Oh god, there needs to be an all sausage wrestling game where every character is just a play on some character but named like a sausage.
Macho Man Randy Sausage. God damn it, I have so many more, but you don't know who Killer Kowalski is. But Killer Kabowski is fucking funny. Oh, man. But it doesn't have to be this way?
Geek it doesn't.
Geek Age Alex Watley has more than a few ideas cooking that could make things much, much better.
Like sausage?
Read all about it, especially if you're a WWE exec and Watts on Wrestling. How to save the WWE Universal Championship?
You know what? Much like this entire episode, that was a terrible idea, and I commend you following it through all the way to the end.
God damn it, Chris. You know me. If I say we're doing something, god damn it, we're going all the way.
We're going to finish reading those Worlds of Power books, damn it.
One of these days, we will. I still got time. I ain't dead.
Man, I really want that sausage wrestling game now.
I want the episode to be called Macho Man Randy Sausage now.
You can catch all this great stuff plus tons of other articles, videos, podcasts, and more right now at sausage.com. Oh, boy.
Maybe we should put our professional commercial at the beginning, away from all the sausage.
All right, we're back. Just greasy and sizzling as ever.
Oh man, I gotta share something with you real quick. You've seen Kill Bill, right?
Of course.
All right, so Vivica A. Fox has the great line in the I Should Have Been Motherfucking Black Mom, right?
Yeah.
Tiff and I will say that just all the time. Completely inappropriate times. Like, for no reason, just I should have been motherfucking black. And it's always funny. So, on Saturday night, we got done watching Real Time with Bill Maher. And right before I went to, like, shut the TV off and go to bed, I put on the trailer for the Mr. Rogers documentary that's on there. And, like, the documentary plays, and we were just talking about Mr. Rogers for a minute and, like, what a great person he was and just, you know, just, like, kind of loving on Mr. Rogers for a minute. And then, like, there's a lull in the conversation, and I just turned to her and I went, he should have been motherfucking Black Mamba. And you would have thought that Tiff was about to die on the couch next to me. The fucking laughter. It was so fucking funny. Oh my God. Anyway.
Real quick before we, we're on tangents, real quick, I just have to give a special middle fingered shout out to Activision Blizzard.
For what?
They announced a crap load of layoffs.
Oh, that's cool.
Right after giving out some big fat bonuses. So here's millions of dollars in bonuses for the higher ups, and now we're gonna lay off I think 800 people.
Oh, that's awesome.
That's just nasty.
That is dirty. Dirty, dirty, dirty.
Yeah, it's freaking gross, and it's doubly heartbreaking. Like we talked before about the whole Toys R Us situation while back when that was happening, and that was just so gross because all the people who literally ran that company into the ground got these humongous bonuses. Like the people who ran Toys R Us were incredibly well paid.
Of course they were.
And now my kids don't have a toy store to go to.
Yeah.
But, because they closed the stores, no severance, no nothing. And this is a similar situation. Like, I loved Toys R Us as a kid, and I loved Activision as a kid. As an Atari kid, Activision games are still they're just the best. They're just the best darn Atari games. Like, Activision, they're the first third-party company. They have such a lineage, and that they have turned into this company that I kind of detest. It's just gross to me. It's pretty heartbreaking.
It really does suck. Like it really makes you appreciate when when you see the big companies I'm not talking about, the Way Forwards and Team Cherry and shit like that and Yacht Club that are making these really great games. But when you see big companies like Nintendo and Sony, they don't do that shit.
Not so much. I mean, hell, when Iwata was around, he took massive pay cuts, around the Wii U era because shit went south. It's on me. So
it's my
fault.
I'll
take the pay cut.
Yeah. Like I'm the one at the top, it's just, this is a whole podcast for another podcast, but it's just a different set of corporate ethics.
Yeah.
That
it's just, this is in the news right now. And it's been making me pretty angry today. Because it's just gross. It's a lot of people out of jobs right now. And screw you, Activision.
Screw you, Activision.
So hearts. Let's keep talking about hearts. Let's see. I've always been a big fan of the level up hearts in NES Double Dragon.
Yes.
It was one of those things that was very confusing as a kid. Mm-hmm. Yeah, you look at the screen and you're like, okay, I got a heart. Is that an extra layer of life? Let's find out. Nope, I'm still dead. That's not what that's for. What still the hell dead. Does this heart mean? Not having the instruction manual handy. And it was a level up. You have this little heart meter at the bottom. So, your health is just a bunch of lines, right? Is it lines or is it one bar? Boy, now I'm having a hard time picturing it.
I think it was one bar.
Oh, stupid commercials. Darn you, YouTube.
What?
Sorry, I just clicked on the first thing I saw that had NES Double Dragon.
All right.
Yeah, I gotta get it. Yeah, it's a bunch of lines. Yeah, that's what I thought.
Yeah.
All right, so your health is a bunch of lines, and you're leveling up is hearts. And that should be reversed, right? Like you'd think leveling up, you fill up a bar of lines and ridiculous. But Double Dragon for NES is freaking cool. I really like that game.
I really loved it too.
It was a neat take on Double Dragon. Like they didn't just straight up adapt the arcade game. They added that cool little level up system, which I liked.
It was a really, really smart way to port that game over and make it work, make it work on the NES because things had to be cut.
Yeah, it had to be cut, and it just, you wasn't a quarter muncher anymore. Like, you give yourself the, you know, the entire arsenal of moves right off the bat, and you don't have as much to be working towards. And I liked that you would earn all these moves as you go, because I had never played the arcade version. I played this before I played the arcade version.
Right.
So, like, a few years later, when I finally, you know, went to a different skating rink than I usually went to, and they happened to have, oh, well, here's what Double Dragon the arcade looks like. Wow, this is a really slow game.
Yeah.
And then also, like, oh my God, you have all of the moves right out of the gate. Whereas, you know, I was used to the NES one where you just had to, you know, really work your way through in the beginning with as many hits as you can. Like, no, I'm not going to kick. I'm only going to punch, because that gets me more points.
Right.
And then I can level up faster. Once you get the elbow, well, the game's pretty much set for it. Yeah. You know, you can elbow the hell out of anybody. I don't know why that's the most powerful move in the game, but it is. And it's awesome.
Have you ever been hit with someone's elbow?
I have.
It's awful.
It is awful. I would
rather be punched in the face than elbowed.
I suppose that adds up. Like, kicks would be like the jump kick, you know, the full weight of a human flying at you foot first. I feel like that would be like the bigger inconvenience. But
I mean, maybe.
What do I know?
This game, I don't know. I've only ever been in one fight once, so, you know, not a fight.
No, you're a lover.
Certainly am.
Bringing it all back.
Let's talk about the most, I think the most obvious part in video game is Kano.
Yeah.
Ripping out your heart.
It's the most obvious one.
I don't know why that is the most brutal fatality in the Mortal Kombat games, but God damn it. That one is just, I mean, like, I guess it's because the rest of them are so silly. Like, I'm just talking about,
oh, and
about,
that
like,
one's
the,
not.
No, sure. But I've seen the documentary Indiana Jones where motherfucker yells Kali Ma and pulls out your heart. That was a documentary.
It was. That happened.
He was a doctor. He was an archaeologist and a professor. Anyway, like, going back to that first Mortal Kombat, right? You had Scorpions, which is just awesome but ridiculous. Johnny Cage, which was
just punch your head off.
Just punch your head off. Sub-Zero, which is just another head punch. You know, but the whole spine comes out. That was Liu Kang, clearly the best one. I'm just gonna bicycle kick.
Mm-hmm. That makes sense.
Sonya's was the kiss of death.
Kiss of death, yeah.
Okay.
Raiden shocks you until your head explodes.
That was kind of cool.
That was cool.
And then Kano whips your heart out of your chest and shows it to you for a second and then holds it up. It was so brutal and awesome. Like, I fucking loved Kano. He's still one of my favorite characters to play.
I had a couple of problems with Kano. Thing number one is, you know, blatant ripoff of Blanka's move.
Uh-huh.
All right.
But easier to do.
Thing number two, there's a lot of, like, there was a lot of back and forth between my friends and I. Like, does he take a bite out of the heart before he holds it up?
No.
Because it kind of looks like he does, but I would think that if he did, I always thought it was just kind of animated weird, because if he did, he'd have blood all over his face.
Right.
But then again, we're fighting in this fight and there's blood everywhere and none of it gets on your clothes.
That's a good point.
That aside, who wears white to an event like this?
Somebody who wants to scare their opponents by the amount of blood they're covering. I always thought, cause like my friends and I had that conversation as well. Like,
who wears white to the event?
Yeah. Well, obviously, especially after Labor Day, like, when does the Mortal Kombat tournament take place?
Day Very after important. Labor Day.
Day after. God, that's even bigger faux pas, kid.
He is a pirate. He's a bad guy.
He's a bad dude. Not bad enough to rescue the president, but a bad dude. We had that conversation, too, of like, oh, he takes a bite out of it. Like, no, he fucking doesn't. And the reason he doesn't take a bite out of it is because this is Mortal Kombat we're talking about. A game that would eventually see Quan Chi rip your leg off and beat you
and just
shit
beat you with it.
Like, you're already dead, your leg is off. But if he were to take a bite out of it,
vital organ.
everyone knows. Again, seen the documentary Search for the Holy Grail. Once mm-hmm. the legs are gone, the Black Knight.
That's it.
If he had taken a bite of the heart, it would have been a bigger part of the animation.
Mm-hmm.
Like, there would have been, like, a for real, like, chomping down on the heart. I always felt.
I would agree with that. There's also a couple other problems with that. Really kind of problems with the fatalities in general. Like, okay, why wouldn't you lead with that?
Why wasn't that your opening self?
Like, you have to wait until they're standing there going,
well, you have to soften them up first.
The other problem I have is like, okay, but if he is going to take a bite out of it, he's really opening himself up to a major problem because, like, let's say you're really good and you win every single match and you do the fatality after every single match. By, like, your fifth or sixth match, like, you're fighting on a full tummy there, pal.
Yeah.
You want to do that spinny move after you've taken, like, six bites of heart? I don't think you do, pal.
You're just
raw human heart. You're just going to barf that right up.
Right? Then you're going to be like Bo Raicho. Be like, oh, that's everywhere.
People slipping. You're slipping. You got it all over your nice white clothes.
It's just not a safe environment.
I mean, no, really. It was very poorly thought out on Kano's behalf.
What a ridiculous level of analysis.
I think we've discovered the stupidest conversation we've ever had on this show.
Oh, dude, I don't know.
It may not even be the stupidest conversation we've had today.
No. Macho Man Randy Sausage. May I take you back to Macho Man Randy Sausage? I'm trying to figure out one that'll work with Andouille. And I can't. I'm searching for it. I'll get there.
It's got to be there. I'm trying to think of, like, different kinds of sausages. Like, you know, well, we did Brat Lesnar.
You've got chorizo, got andouille, kielbasa.
What are the knockwurst?
Knockwurst.
Come on, there's got to be a good one for knockwurst. We're gonna make this game. We're gonna make this happen.
So excited about it.
Me too. Well, let's see. I'll pick one. There's not really a lot of stupid stuff to say about this, but I've always been a big fan of Stage 13 in the NES version of Bubble Bobble.
Okay.
This is a big old heart. Made of littler hearts.
I mean, it's kind of on the nose.
It is.
It's entirely on the nose.
It is. It is just a giant heart. And it
it's from the heart.
It is, but it's also full of flying whale heads.
Because video games are weird.
If you've never played Bubble Bobble, you're a tiny dragon that spits bubbles at things. And you get to this heart stage and there's all these flying whale heads. And you have to use these, like, soap bubble things to flow through the heart because you can't get inside of it.
No.
You can, but it's a little hard. And if you get in there, it's kind of a death trap. Bubble Bobble's a weird game.
The whole, like, going back and looking at old video games is just an exercise in just appropriate levels of absurdity. Because they are all absurd. Just a ridiculous concept. And we're like, yeah, I suppose so. It's fun. So, like, all that matters, I'm having fun while I'm doing it. There's a giant gorilla standing at a construction site, and he stole your girlfriend and took her ear, and he throws flaming barrels at her. And somehow you're like, that's cool. I'm just going to go get her. Like, what a ridiculous concept. I mean, I love them, but they make no sense. And I think I would like to end with perhaps the one that makes that is a level of absurdity that is just very near and dear to my heart that I love so much, and that would be the companion.
Oh, the companion cube. I love the companion cube. I have a little stuffed companion cube. It's just delightful.
It speaks to the power of creativity and storytelling that from a game as ridiculously great as Portal 2, perhaps the most popular thing to come from it is a box with a heart.
That is true.
It has no lines. It has no animation. It has
It is
nothing.
A completely inanimate object.
Yeah. Just a and the level of emotion you feel when you fuck up, as you inevitably will playing through Portal.
You have no choice. You can't get out of the room without, as they say, euthanizing the companion cube.
God, that hurts.
I never want to do it. I always get to that part. I'm like, I don't want to do this. There's got to be a way to get around this. I love this cube. It's got a heart on it. It loves me. You told me so, Gladys.
And like the idea that it is former like test subjects that are in the cube, that the companion cubes are made out of other people.
I had not heard that.
Oh, yeah.
That does make it worse. Where does that come from?
The internet.
Well, the internet is made of cats. So it's never wrong.
So it comes from cats, then, apparently. I don't know. It was a thing I read somewhere. And I was like, yeah, I mean, that makes sense. That it makes sense as much as anything else does.
Really? But just all of anything, I just adore the way that game just screws with you there. Like it's just one of those inanimate cubes that's all over the limitless amounts of them.
Yeah.
But then they drew hearts on this one and said, this one's your friend.
Yeah.
And it does nothing other than they told you this is your friend and it has hearts on it and it loves you. Okay, that's neat.
Such a brilliant bit of storytelling.
It really is.
And then you have to kill it.
You do. You have, but you don't, because it's a freaking box. It's not alive. It doesn't feel anything.
Right.
But it tells you you have to euthanize it, and for some reason that just like, ow.
Yeah.
That was mean.
Fucking.
It is.
Brilliant.
Portal's great and needs to be ported to every console forever.
That's why, well, they're going to wait until they release the Portal 3 trailer. Oh, that's the other thing.
Oh, yeah, that's coming to Nintendo Direct tomorrow.
Portal 3. Mm-hmm.
Portal 3.
Switch exclusive.
3DS exclusive.
Exclusive to Switch VR.
Yes.
Because they're announcing a VR platform tomorrow, too.
Mm-hmm. It's called a roll of duct tape. You just tape the Switch to your head.
It's a fucking 3D Viewmaster that you make out of Labo.
Oh, my God. Yes. Yes, please. Sign me up.
It's just cardboard arms. You have to go find your own 3D Viewmaster from the 80s. But if you can find one, you just slap these cardboard arms on it, and there you go. You got
Sold.
Your VR.
All right, well, I'm going to finish off with what I have always thought was the strangest bit of hearts I think I've ever seen, and that is from the NES Classic City Connection.
Mm-hmm.
Boy, City Connection. This game is so freaking strange.
Yeah.
It's an NES game that shows a dude smoking a cigarette.
Mm-hmm.
It's got like the font of the Love Connection TV game show for some reason. You are a minivan that drives around, and everywhere you drive turns white, and you can jump in this little car, and you're trying to avoid the police as you jump from vertical road to vertical road, because that makes sense. And you can pick up barrels and then shoot them like ammunition. If you run into a cat, you lose a life, and the cat goes flying off the screen very slowly.
Mm-hmm.
And the cats are just freaking everywhere. They're ready to just be standing in your way at all times with checkered flags in their hands for some reason. So where the hearts come in, if you crash, you run into one of the random spikes that, we got Brought Wyatt here. Oh, and Dewey the Giant. That's a good one.
Oh, that's so good.
And Dewey the Giant. Good. That comes from Alex Watley, writer of the wrestling thing that we advertised. That was great. Anyway, back to City Connection. He's still got him coming. Salami Zane.
Oh, Salami Zane is excellent. Oh, these are so good.
This is gold. So in City Connection, when you crash, your car like blows up into a bunch of little pieces, but like it's not like there's an explosion. It's like the game cuts your sprite into, I think, six different pieces, and they, you know, kind of scatter across the screen. But halfway through what you would think is the explosion animation, they then all turn into hearts and start dancing around the screen.
None of that seems weird to me.
Yeah. Perfectly normal.
100% makes sense.
It is. I remember renting this game as a kid and thinking it was weird enough. And then when I died and just like, oh no,
what is happening?
Oh, this got really weird. It's like, it's even weirder that, remember the game Cabal for NES?
I do.
And like you beat the level and they just have this little freak out dance party as they run to the next stage. That's pretty weird, but this is weird.
Yeah.
Like the people who made this game were on some stuff.
And, see, this is what I'm saying. Like video games were an exercise in the absurd.
They were, and it's one of the reasons I love them so much. One of the reasons I love indie games so much, because they continue to be exercises in the absurd.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, that is damn true.
It's damn true. Well, this was dumb.
This was dumb, Chris, but an hour and a half later, here we are.
Man, if I didn't have a blast doing it.
We did it, Chris.
We did it.
Salami Zane.
What's the real name?
Sami Zayn.
Oh, okay. All right.
That's so fucking funny.
Fantastic. See, we didn't even take into consideration stuff like pepperoni and like and that kind of stuff. We're going to come up with a hell of a game here. It's going to be great. But while we're doing that, that is our show. Join us next week for the February 10, 2030, including the likes of Tecmo Bowl, Beetle Adventure Racing, House of the Dead Overkill, and more. Once again, you can get in touch with us at mail@geekade.com, as well as all sausage flavors of social media that we inhabit.
Which is quite a few.
It is. Get in touch with us. Tell us your wrestler sausage names. We want to hear as many as you can get.
We really goddamn do. This isn't a joke. This is serious, serious business, people.
You can like us on Facebook. Find us on Instagram at Geekade. Subscribe to our YouTube and Twitch channels for all our latest video content. Follow us on Twitter at @_Geekade, or find us individually on Twitter. I'm at Geekade Chris. That's Geekade KRIS. And Dan?
I'm at Geekade Dan.
If you're interested in more information about anything we discussed here tonight, like sausage. Be sure. This all came from Bratlet.
This all came from me drinking beer and stumbling over my words like an asshole.
And I thought that Banjo-Kanooie? I thought that was going to be the best misstep of the night. But yeah, no.
Nope.
Brat Lesnar topped it.
Brat Lesnar took the fucking sausage cake, as it were.
Sausage cake.
You know, sausage cake.
It's terrifying and tantalizing at the same time.
Terrifying and delicious.
Oh boy, something about Spotify and iTunes and stuff. We'd like to thank the return of our intrepid editor, Evan, for making the show listenable for all you folks.
Right, you stumbled over that one too.
Yeah. No, I said that right.
Our intrepid
editor. I'm sure I did. I don't know, I'm tired. We'd also like to thank Mark TDK Knight for our show's theme. You can check him out on SoundCloud and Bandcamp or his website, which we have a link to in the show notes. Again, always remember to keep your eyes on Geekade.com for more fresh, original sausage. That's it, everybody. On behalf of Dan and myself, keep playing games.
I'll keep eating sausage.
Nah.